The Lord's Prayer is well known to most of us. It consists out of 6 petitions. 3 are to give glory to God, and 3 are supplications to God for our daily needs. And it ends with praise. So there is a certain order in that model prayer. Today I would like to talk about the second part. So after we have glorified God in 3 ways, we come with our petitions to the Lord. For we ask for daily bread, for forgiveness of our sins, and not to be led into temptation, but to be delivered from evil. But today I would like to talk about that second petition, to pray for forgiveness as we forgive others. This is the petition that is almost repeated at the end of the Lord's Prayer. Hence its importance. In verse 14 and 15 it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." 3 points. We are much forgiven, still we need daily cleansing, and as God has forgiven us, we should also forgive others from the heart. So first, we are much forgiven. The Lord God has shown his great love to us in sending his Son Jesus Christ to this earth. God gave us his only begotten Son as a sacrifice. He has paid for our sins at the cross. He has removed our sins and has given us a heart of flesh. Do we fully realize how much he has done for us? Do we realize how blessed we are? We owe him a life of thanksgiving. Romans 4 verse 7 says, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." Be it known unto you, my brethren, that God's free forgiveness is our highest privilege in this world. God's free forgiveness will be our only title to eternal life in the world to come. And this forgiveness is not only extended to the Jew, but has come also to us Gentiles. In Luke 7, 40, verse 43, it says in the parable of the 2 debtors, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had 2 debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said to him, "Thou hast rightly judged." This parable speaks about these 2 debtors. And one is forgiven more than the other, and he'll be most probably more thankful. So do we realize how much we are forgiven? His sacrifice was sufficient to pay for all our debts. And what is our response? The prince of preachers, as he is sometimes called, Spurgeon, he was once in a country place, and as he came down the pulpit after the service, as many people clustered about him to shake hands, and one old lady said to Spurgeon, Mr. Spurgeon, you made one great blunder in your sermon. Spurgeon replied, my dear soul, I dare say I made a score. I made many. I am a great blunderer. No, she said, but you said that you would sing the loudest when you go to heaven. But you shall not. For I owe more to divine grace than you possibly can do. I was once a great sinner, and I had much forgiven, and therefore I shall praise God more than you. We are not only much forgiven, we still need daily cleansing. In the Lord's Prayer it is said that we should pray for daily bread. God could give a great lump sum of bread, but he doesn't. He asks us to pray daily for a bit of bread, enough that our needs are filled. The order of the prayer, the second part of the Lord's Prayer, is amazing. First mentioned are our physical needs. I have to be kept alive to enjoy life and to have a relationship with God. Second, my need to be cleansed from sin, because certain things tend to interrupt that fellowship with God. And third, to be kept from anything that may cast me again into sin. These three petitions show us our entire dependence upon God. The God of the universe is concerned about our daily bread. And we know from the scriptures, even our hairs are counted. We pray for absolute necessities here. If our Father gives us the great gift of grace in one great lump sum, we would be in danger of enjoying the gift and forgetting all about God. Because we are his children, he likes us to come to him and likes to hear us. But to stay in that communion, in a good fellowship with him, we need daily forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, he is faithful and just if we confess our sins. We know that at the Lord's Supper, Jesus cleansed the feet of his disciples. And that is described in John 13. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou shalt have no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye. Yeah. And so we can see that Jesus said to Peter, you are washed, you are clean, and yet he needs his feet have to be cleansed. A little story to explain a bit further that we need daily cleansing. Several ministers had gathered to discuss difficult questions, and it was asked how the command to pray without ceasing, as in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, could be obeyed. Various suggestions were offered, and at last one of the ministers was appointed to write an essay on the subject for the next meeting. A young maidservant who was serving in the room heard the discussion and exclaimed, "What? A whole month to tell the meaning of this text? Why? It's one of the easiest and best verses in the Bible." "Well, well, Mary," said an old minister, "what do you know about it? Can you pray all the time?" "Oh, yes, sir." "Really? How is that possible when you have so many things to do?" "Why, sir, the more I have to do, the more I pray." "Indeed. Well, Mary, how do you do it? Most people wouldn't agree with you." "Well, sir," said the girl, "when I first open my eyes in the morning, I pray, 'Lord, open the eyes of my understanding.' And while I'm dressing, I pray that I may be clothed with the robe of righteousness. While I am washing, I ask to have my sins washed away. As I begin work, I pray that I may receive strength for all the work of the day. While I kindle the fire, I pray that revival may be kindled in me. While preparing and eating breakfast, I ask to be fed with the bread of life and the pure milk of the word. As I sweep the house, I pray that my heart may be swept clean of all its impurities. As I'm busy with the little children, I look up to God and pray that I may always have the trusting love of a little child. And as I..." "Enough, enough," cried the minister. "These truths are often hid from the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes. As the Lord himself said, 'Go on, Mary,'" he continued, "'pray without ceasing. As for us, brothers,'" to his colleagues, minister, "'let us thank the Lord for this lesson.'" And then thirdly and lastly, "As God has forgiven us, we should also forgive others from the heart. First, the forgiveness which we ask that God would give us does not depend on the forgiveness which we grant to others. The text does not say here, 'Forgive us our debts because we forgive our debtors.'" No, no, Matthew 6:12 could be translated, "And forgive us our debts even as we forgive our debtors." The Lord's Prayer shouldn't, however, be said in a mechanical way, but it should be prayed from the heart. Our prayer for forgiveness and forgiving others should also be from the heart. And we should pray in faith, because we know that the Bible says everything that is not done of faith is sin. It's quite a challenging definition of sin, if you think about it. If we think that our sins are forgiven by God, and we refuse to forgive somebody else, we are making a mistake. We have never been forgiven. The man who knows he has been forgiven only in and through the shed blood of Christ is a man who must forgive others. "Forgive me, O God, as I forgive others, because of what thou hast done for me." This petition is full of the atonement. It is full of the grace of God. True forgiveness breaks a man, and he must forgive. Our prayer for forgiveness is not genuine. It is not true. It is of no avail unless we find there is forgiveness in our heart. God give us grace to be honest with ourselves and never to repeat these petitions in the Lord's Prayer in a mechanical way. Another story to explain the need of forgiveness from the heart. Mr. Williams loved gardening. In his garden grew a special pear tree of a rare variety. Mr. Williams took very good care of this tree. In the second year, it blossomed, but it bore only one fruit, one pear. Since there would be no other pears on this special tree that year, Mr. Williams was very anxious about it. He hoped that no rough wind would blow it off. He checked it every morning and every evening and was glad to find it safe. Mr. Williams told his children not to touch the pear at all, for the fruit was tender and must not be handled. The thought never occurred to him that one of his children would wish to steal it. Luke was the youngest son of Mr. and Mrs. Williams. He often looked at that pear too, and he wished to taste it. Luke should have asked God to cleanse his heart and to take away the sinful, selfish desire to have that pear. But he did not. He just could not stop thinking about how good that pear would taste. One night, after everyone was in bed, the thought of that pear kept Luke wide awake. He crept out of bed and went to the window. He opened the window and looked out at the pear tree. His mouth watered as he thought of that delicious pear. Quickly he pulled on his clothes and crept down the back stairs on his bare feet. Soon he reached the tree. Luke was standing there, looking up at the pear, when he thought, "What will my father say?" Luke answered the question by telling himself that his father wouldn't know who took it. He made up his mind to pick the fruit and eat it. He reached up to take the pear, but he moved aside some leaves. He noticed a star shining brightly in the dark, clear sky. All at once, these words came to his mind. "Thou, God, seest me." Luke pulled his hands back as though they had been burned and ran as fast as he could back up the stairs and into bed. He lay there trembling. God had seen him. He was a thief. Really, even if he did not actually take the pear, he cried softly into his pillow and asked God to forgive him, thanking him at the same time for keeping him from taking the pear. Then he fell asleep and slept soundly. The next morning, Mr. Williams came in from the garden and said, "The pear is ripe. It's time to pick it. But who is to have it?" Without thinking, Luke cried out, "God ought to have it. God ought to have it." Mr. and Mrs. Williams and the other children were surprised at this strange answer. "Why did you say that?" asked Luke's father. Luke felt his cheeks grow red and tears came to his eyes. He began to sob. Then he told them that he had almost become a thief the night before. Actually, he was a thief because he had planned to steal the pear. He told them about the star God had used to stop him. Everyone was moved by Luke's confession, but no one was angry with him, for his repentance was real. Gently hugging Luke, his father said, "Then it shall be just as you said. God shall have the pay, and we will give it to him by giving it to one of his dear children." "What about our neighbor Annie?" asked Luke's sister Louise. "She has been sick for so long." Her lips are so often very dry and chapped, and they seldom have any good food to eat. I'm sure she would love a nice, juicy pear. So it was decided Mrs. Williams and Luke went to bring Annie the pear. How she enjoyed it. How thankful she was. It gave Luke more happiness to see Annie smile than if he had eaten that pear himself. What an important lesson Luke learned. Have you learned it? Thou God seest me. And if we think about our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, his heart was still going out to them that were around him. You know that the Jewish people, they said when he was at the cross, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And you know what the Lord Jesus said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And my brothers here and sisters, is there any in our heart, is there any anti-Semitism? It comes sometimes natural to us that we hate the Jewish people, God's eye apple. And Lord, you know what has happened in Europe, how they were almost extinguished from the earth. And Lord, in a way, there might be blood on the hands of our forefathers. I think especially of those from Europe. Lord, give us a heart that is forgiving. And just to end, I have some questions. Do we ask God daily to forgive us? Remember Job, who prayed even for his sons, even to forgive them from their hidden sins. Do we thank God that we are already forgiven in the first place? Do we forgive others from the heart as a result of free forgiveness? Oh, thank God that He has changed our hearts. And let us praise Him. And as the Lord's Prayer ends, it says, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.